In Romans 12, last week we went through and we mentioned the gift of grace, how God had given us the gift of grace and how God's grace is upon the humble and He resists the proud. And we talked about how being prideful in any area of our life, no matter what it may be, you're merely standing against the Lord. But when we humble ourselves, God's grace is upon us and it's designed to bring humility into our life, a clarity of mind, and a saving faith. That's what grace is all about. And then we can share those things with others. We talked about the different gifts. We talked about how the only time it mentions in Romans is one time it mentions prophecy and one time it mentions ministry. These things that we think, these gifts that we hold so high, because you know how we are as people, we tend to hold up one gift higher than the other. And the thing is, God's given us all types of different gifts, and we spoke of that. How there's gifts of administration and helps and all these different things that God has gifted each and every one of you. Prophecy, we talked about how it was the forthtelling and the foretelling, and how it's so much more important to have the forthtelling or speaking forth the Word of God, telling others what you already know, the words that God has placed in your mouth. Ministry, we talked about how it was to be an attendant, a servant, a teacher, maybe even working in an office, it states, or a waiter, running errands. It means all of these in the original text. Teaching, training others, sharing your wisdom that you've gone through life circumstances, through perhaps situations that have happened to you, or just by age. As we get older, we acquire more and more wisdom as we go through different situations in our life, and God speaks and trains us up further. Teaching others, that's what the gifts are for. Ephesians 4:11, we mentioned, says it's for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what the gifts are for. Not that we could lord them over others or exalt ourselves above others, but it's for the body of Christ so that we can train one another, so we can love one another, so we can help one another. Of course, we mentioned love, true love, and how true love, it's not mere emotions, but it's wholly in love with your whole heart, your mind, and your will. True love is active love, and active love is rejoicing in hope and distributing to the needs, helping wherever there is a need that you're able to provide for. Repaying no one evil for evil, that's true love. Living peaceably one with another, as much as is possible with you. These are all the things that we covered in a nutshell last week in Romans chapter 12. And today, we'll be in Romans 13, verse 1 through 14. And the title of the message is, "The Fulfillment of the Law is Love." Before we get into that, it says in verse 1, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment upon themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same." There is no authority except from God. If we can understand that, we look at the police officers and the people who are placed in our life to judge, the judges and all these people that are there in authority, the governors and the politicians that we sometimes say so many bad things about because of the corruptness that's going around in the world today. But notice what it says, "Let everyone or every soul be subject to the governing authorities." Every soul, that's each and every one of us. It doesn't say only those who are Christians or only those who are not Christians, but everybody needs to come under the authority, the governing authorities, those who are placed here to rule the land, if you will, whether it be a king or a president or a police officer, those who are placed there, for there is no authority except from God. Recognize that God is in control of all things and all things work together for good. God says, to those who are called according to His purpose. And even the authorities in our life who sometimes we think are corrupt and everything else, God has placed there for a reason. And yes, some are corrupt, but some aren't. But nevertheless, their job there is to uphold the law of the land. They're placed there by God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. They're not just placed there, they're picked out. You see, if some are corrupt, it's for a reason. God will bring all that about in His time. And He'll expose all sin. And whatever was done in quietness or in the secret or in the darkness will be shouted from the rooftops. Therefore, we see that if we love one another, we trust not in the authority, but in God. We trust that God is in control of every situation. And perhaps there's an authority that's putting pressure on you in one area or another. You trust in God. We don't retaliate against the authority. That would be dumb. The Bible says, therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. You'll be going against God. And we just said that God gives grace to the humble, but He stands against the proud. And in us refusing to respect the authorities that God has placed there, we're resisting God. For there is no authority except that which is from the Lord. And those who resist will bring judgment upon yourselves. And as you resist an authority, you bring judgment. If you're not humble, well, I'm not going to bother anybody, man. I don't care who they are. I don't care if they have a badge. I don't care, you know, if they hold a gavel. I know I'm right, and that's all there is to it. And we start getting our pride going up. And we start taking our stand, you know. And it might be a righteous stand. There might be some truth to what you're standing for. But yet, in humility, coming before them, trusting that God is going to work for them. If you have to stand before an authority, what do? Start preparing your case, right? In a sense, start praying for that authority. That God will start to use that authority to direct you in the areas that we need direction in. Trust God, not the authority. He's corrupt. I know He is. Trust God. Start praying for Him. Because the Bible says that God will lift up and place kings in position, and He'll tear them down as well. And if you trust in the Lord as you go before an authority, God will let everything work out together for good because He loves you. That's what He's talking about here. Don't resist them. You'll cause pain upon yourselves. See, because the rulers are not there for a terror of good works, if you're doing good, they're not there to chastise you for doing good, although in this country it happens from time to time. But we trust in God, recognizing that there's a spiritual warfare out there, and they're not coming directly against you, but against the principles of God. That's what the authorities are corrupt about. They're trying to attack God. And they see you as standing for righteousness, they will come after you. It's interesting to me, my youngest daughter, I'm going to share something with you. She said that she got pulled over. I called her and I told her, be careful, because sometimes we tend to drive a little bit fast on that road where we live because it's wide open. And I said, be careful, I've been seeing cops around here. And she says, okay, Dad, thanks. So she was driving along, and sure enough, a cop pulled her over, a state police officer, and says, you were speeding. And she said he was kind of rough. And she humbly said, no, officer, I wasn't. You see, I had my cruise control on, and therefore I know I wasn't. He goes, oh, okay. Well, your light on your license plate is out. And he let her go. And it was interesting because he asked, do you have a registration and a license? And she says, well, I don't know where it is. It's my dad's truck. My car is broken. And just humbly, not going up against your authority and saying, you know what? You're lying. I'm not speeding. That's a bunch of BS, man. You know, I had my cruise control on. And I don't care what you say. Who do you think you are? And you see the difference as you humbly come to an authority and present your case and say, but officer, I had the cruise control on. And see, if we're cruising in cruise control and we're trusting in God, and we know that everything we're doing, we're trying to do our best to stay within the lines, if you will, God will stand for you. It kind of blows my mind. If it was me driving and I didn't have my registration, or it was in there, she just didn't know where it was at. But if I wouldn't have been able to present it, more than likely I would have got a ticket. But He let her go. The grace of God. As you humble yourselves to those who God has placed. Not for any kind of abuse or anything like that, but trusting that God is going to direct you in your lives. And we're talking about the authorities of the land here. We see how God will stand in the gap for you and for me. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, let's turn there briefly. It says there again, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors, or as to those who are sent by Him for the punishment of evildoers. What are the authorities there for? They're to punish evildoers, those who do wrong. and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Isn't that interesting? By doing good, I'm going to read it again. This is the will of God. This is what God wants for us, even in the midst of a harsh authority, perhaps. It says, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. The ignorance of foolish men. Those who perhaps want to abuse their authority or unjustly come against you. As you humbly, because you love the Lord, submit yourself to these rulers, God will stand in your midst. He'll stand between you and them. He'll be your protector. He's the strong tower. He's the final authority. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is our advocate, our lawyer. And even in the matters that are way more important than what happens down here, in eternal matters, when the enemy is coming to our Father and accusing each and every one of you and me because of the sinfulness of our ways, perhaps, or the lives that we lived before, and even the failures that we have now, our advocate, our lawyer, he stands in the gap. And if he stands in the gap for things that are as important as eternal matters, your salvation and mine and our soul and our eternal destiny, if he will stand in the gap for you there, why do you not trust that he won't stand in gap for you in matters here on earth? He'll stand in the gap. I've seen it happen. And if we suffer loss, at least we suffer loss for doing righteously rather than for being known as evildoers. And there's times when we do suffer loss and we're unjustly or unrighteously accused. But you know what? God will be with you either way. I think of Paul when he was in the prison, unjustly thrown into prison. And yes, he suffered. And some of you and me will suffer unjustly at the hands of evildoers. But yet, God was with him. It wasn't like he was thrown in jail and God wasn't able to enter because the bars were locked. And there's no way that he could be with his son. Paul, as he was held captive in prison, a Roman prison, a dungeon basically, a cave perhaps with bars. Was it too deep that God couldn't go in there and comfort his child? No, but rather God was there and the Holy Spirit was there and the power was there. And what did he start to do? When things got the darkest, when he thought, this is it, there is nothing, how lower can I go in suffering for you, Lord Jesus Christ? What do I do? Raise your voice and praise. And as they started to raise their voices and they started to praise, the gates were popped open. Those who held them captive had now become frail and weak and collapsed. There was nothing or anyone to hold them any longer. And they were able to walk out of that. Free men. And you see, the enemy wants to freak you out. He wants to put all these physical elements in your life and in my life. And as we look at the elements and the things going around us, they're like bars of a prison. And it seems like we're being captive and we're being held and we're being tied down. And we think, God, where are you? What do I do? It seems like it's the darkest hour, Lord. How am I going to get out of this? How? I can't take this anymore. Father, I'm being hit from every which way by different things in my life. Lord God, I've done nothing wrong. What do I do? Lift up your voices, my son. Lift up your voices and sing and lift the praises of your King, your Father Supreme. Lift them up to me and I will deliver you. You see, God has a plan for each and every one of us. And it's not for evil. And it's not to cause evil to others. It's to glorify His Son, Jesus Christ, in the midst of suffering. God loves you. He knows you. And He'll be there for you. Submit yourselves, He says, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you'll put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using a liberty for a cloak of vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the King. What's the will of God? Right there. What we just read. As we go through difficult times, and sometimes the authorities seem to let us down, and we fall subject to them in a harsh way, know that God can be glorified even in these things. Let's go to Titus chapter 3, verse 1. It says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities. Again, the third time we see that today. First in Romans, then in Peter, and now in Titus. Paul speaking to Titus says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one. That's a tough one, you know. We tend to gather around people sometimes and the conversation starts off well, maybe even in a godly manner. And then before you know it, the conversation starts to turn into more like gossip. And the Bible talks about that, not to being gossipers or busybodies and involving yourself in other affairs that are none of your own. And it says here, to speak evil of no one, but be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. I want to encourage you. One of the things with the body of Christ is that there's a lot of people who are taking strong stands against what we call the big sins. And then there's these other sins that are kind of sneaking around. The little ones, we call them. One of them is gossip. The Bible says it's like a tasty morsel that is placed on your tongue and it feels so good going down. To me, that's ice cream. You know? You put that ice cream right there and it's so cold and good, you know, on a hot day. And then, it just goes down and it's like, it feels so good. That's what the Bible likens gossip to. At first, it just starts off easy and gentle. And then before you know it, it's like kind of tasty. I like this. And then before you know it, you're indulging in it as well. And before you know it, you've defamed perhaps another brother or sister or maybe someone else in the office. And before you know it, it just grows. And then you walk away feeling kind of empty because you've sinned. It's sin. And it's one of those weird sins that destroys character of someone. You speak bad of someone and before you know it, they speak bad. And then it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. And before you know it, that person is more horrible than they were at the beginning of the conversation. And know this, that if you're indulging in gossip with a certain person continually, it seems like every time you get together with them, it turns into a gossip about someone. More than likely, they're talking about you as well when you're not there. If they're free to talk about others to you when they're not there, guess what? They could be talking about you to others when you're not there. Steer away from it. End the conversation. Say, what does that have to do with my job? Let's just end it here. Take a stand for righteousness in a godly way. To speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures. Notice, we were once like this. We shouldn't be walking in these anymore. Living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. That's the way we used to be, he says. We should be different now. You're holy. You're different. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing and of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. We talked about that in Romans, how we renew ourselves, even our mind, as we're washed by the Word, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You see, we were adopted into His family. That's why we can call Him Abba Father and wish Him a happy Father's Day today. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and are profitable to men. So avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject a divisive man, a disagreeing, or one who's preaching heresy after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. You see how gossip can, even as we look at this divisive person, can just grow and grow inside of you until the very one gossiping can start to be getting destroyed. The gossip was designed to destroy that person, but you yourself can be starting to be destroyed. I look at it as like a sandcastle. The Bible says to guard our salvation with fear and trembling, and we have like this sandcastle, a beautiful house, and it looks wonderful, and it's a bit solid, but it's not exactly what God has called us to be yet. And as our body is glorified, it will become something even more. But now it's a bit of a fragile structure. And gossiping and sin, it's like the water being poured over it and it starts to erode. And that's what he's talking about here, is we can begin to become eroded by the things that we allow into our life that are sin, i.e. the gossip and anything else, various lusts, whatever it may be. So we see how the Lord protects us in all things. He gives us instructions in all things. Back in Romans, verse 5, therefore, because God has placed ministers in our life, governing authorities over the land, therefore, because you must be subject. Notice, you must be. If you're not, it's going to go bad for you. Some of you have experienced encounters with the law. And if you don't submit yourself to them, it could be more harmful than it was at the beginning. Humble yourself under the hand of a mighty God and let Him deal with both you and the authorities as well. You must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. There's that you have to deal with. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Matthew 22, verse 21 says that Jesus speaking, he says, render to Caesar that which is Caesar's. They tried to trap Jesus, you know, and they tried to get him in a position, those who were against him. And they said, okay, well, let's see, you know, we're Pharisees and we want to trap you. What do we do about taxes, Jesus? He says, show me the coin. He says, whose face is on it? Caesar's? Well, then give to Caesar's what Caesar's. You see, we're subject to these authorities, and if they call for something, then do it. How many of you just love to pay taxes? You can't wait till tax season because you can hardly wait to give a third of your money to the government. But you see, what he's saying is, it's not ours. It's kind of like people ask me about tithing sometimes. They say, well, how much should I give? Where should I give? How should I give? Well, whatever you do, give it cheerfully, for one. Let's start there first. God will work on you on how much and where. Give it cheerfully. I look at my tithes. If I look at it as a bill, it's going to be a burden to me. But if I look at it like, well, this isn't mine. It's like if you were walking by and you dropped a 20, I'm like, cool. That's not mine. Silly for me to try and keep it. So think of tithing as, it's God's money. Oh, Lord, you dropped 400 bucks. Here it is. Just give it to Him. It's His, the Bible says. Everything is His. He just wants to know your heart. That's the whole reason for tithing. Where is your heart? Are you wrapped up in law? Or are you wrapped up in love? Show me your heart. Let's start with the wallet. And we talked about that in Romans, remember, a while back. Give their tithe to the Lord. It's not ours. Just, God, you dropped this. Here you go. Taxes the same way. You know what, God? Got to pay them. Have a small business. Small business people just get nailed. It's unreal. If I start to think of it, I'll get all depressed. It's just horrible. You pay through the nose for everything. If I told you how much I had to pay in taxes on my little electrical contracting business, you'd freak out. But I try not to dwell on it. Just let it go. Think of it as not yours. It's the best way to do it. And then if that doesn't work, go a step further and say, you know what, God? If this glorifies you, then I'll pay it as soon as I can. Sometimes you have to make payments. Sometimes you have the money saved. However you pay it, but you pay it. Why? Because you're rendering, therefore, to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes. Fear upon fear. And customs to customs. But honor to whom honor. And think of it as you do these things that you're subject to. You must be subject to them, the Bible says. How many times have people come to me and say, how much will you do this electrical job for me? And I give them a price and they say, how much if I give you cash? And I say, the same. Well, don't you understand? If I give you cash, you don't have to report it. You don't have to pay taxes on it. Neither do I. And I'd say, really? Wow. I'm going to report it anyway, whether you give me a cash or whether you give me a check and I go and change it for cash. I mean, I'm going to report it. Well, no, don't do that because then you'll get me in trouble and then I have to report it. I go, well, that's business. Well, I'm not going to use you anymore after this. I say, okay. Because you're not my provider, I say. God is my provider. He's the one who brings the jobs. If my appointment book is empty, and sometimes it's empty, there's nothing written on there but the date, July 18th, all the way through the 28th, there's nothing, Lord. And I can show you my appointment book. Sometimes my appointment book is full and everything cancels. And then there's times where there's nothing on there, and it could be the most prosperous week. It might carry me through the whole month. You see, God is my provider. Sometimes contractors have walked away from me for one reason or another. Maybe it's not for taking a stand, but maybe they're just closing their business or they're changing something else in their life. And I'm like, oh, gosh, that was a good account, Lord. What do I do? Well, turn, ask your Father. Ask your Father and He'll supply all your needs according to His goodness and His riches that He has. He'll pour them out to you. Oh, by the way, Lord, I've been faithful over here, you know, and He reminds me, you're a tither, you're my son, I love you, I won't leave you nor forsake you, I'll pour, open out the windows of the storehouse, pour out to you such a blessing. And I start counting the blessings, not the money, the blessings in my life. I think, oh God, why am I worried about money when there's blessings in my life? And we start focusing on the good things that God is doing in our life rather than the bad things which the enemy is trying to steal your joy from. Render, therefore, owe no one anything except to love one another. He who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments say, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You should not bear false witness. You shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, they're all summed up in this, saying namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not harm a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Are you trying to keep the law? Are you trying so hard to be on the straight and narrow? Are you trying not to commit murder? Are you trying not to commit adultery? Are you trying not to bear false witness or gossip against someone else when they're not even in the room? Is there anything else that is mentioned in the law that you're trying to keep and you find yourself failing time after time after time? Love will cover a multitude of sins. A multitude of sins. You see, if you love someone, you won't do harm to them. You don't want to do adultery because you don't want to cause harm in that household. Your kids will see. Your spouse will see. You know, whatever it is. You don't want to murder because you don't want to bring hardship. You love people. And you try and love, not just those who love you, but the ones who are hard to love. Even your enemies, the Bible says. Love does no harm to the neighbor. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to try and swindle him out of a deal. If you love your neighbor, who's your neighbor? The one across the fence? No, your neighbor, wherever you're at. A neighbor could be my customer coming to me. And they say, how much for this job? And I know that job will cost $145.50. But yet, because I see the household, and I see what a mansion, and I think, surely these guys can afford more than that. And I tend to mark up my price. Then I'm not loving my neighbor as the Bible calls me to. I'm swindling my neighbor. I'm taking advantage because of the blessings that are in their life. And we can do that. But if we love from a sincere and pure heart, we won't cause harm to another. Love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, that now it is high time to awake out of our sleep. It's about time we start looking at things like this, he says. For now, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. How many of you agree or understand that? Our salvation is nearer today than when you first believed. How long have you been in the Lord? Did you know that you're closer today to eternity with Jesus Christ than 2 years ago? Than 10 years ago? Than 11 years ago? We stepped into Jesus' grace. He became our Father. And He's working a divine plan in our life to give us a spiritual home in heaven. And we're closer now. Look around you. Look at the world, the way it's changed in the last 2 years, in the last 10 years. Notice how the world is straining and it's like labor pains and we see it happening and everything seems to be falling apart. You know, society as a whole is going down the tube. It's getting quickly, if it's not already, to that point of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we see that happening. As you can't turn on regular TV. We got rid of the cable because it was too bad. And we have an antenna. Nobody has an antenna nowadays, you know? You go to our house, there's a dish there. It's not hooked up, but, you know, there's an antenna up on the roof. And even now, we find ourselves sitting with the remote, just waiting for that commercial of perversity, you know, because we're watching a good program. It's a good program. And that commercial comes on and, where's the remote? Zap it. Because there's two guys kissing, or two girls kissing. Or there's evil, you know, and it's just vile and just evil. Scary, what we used to call scary movies. All this stuff. And it's murder after murder after murder. All these documentaries. I used to love to watch 2020, all these things. All these news movies that I love to get information of. What is it about now? She went out on him, and he went out on her, and therefore there was a crime of passion, and this one got murdered, and, you know, it's unreal. That's all it's about. It's crime. We see society, know this, that you're closer to eternity than you've ever been. It's not a time to start pulling away, because the Bible says that the Lord, when he comes in the heavens, in the clouds, and we're drawn up to be with him, what we call the rapture, when that happens, all these wars and rumors of wars and all these things are going to come about. It'll be like Sodom and Gomorrah or like the times of Noah. And we're seeing it happening. Don't pull away from the Lord now. Now's not the time. Stay closer to the Lord. Stay strong in the body of Christ and in fellowship now more than ever. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Forget the things you were once like. Start walking in newness of life. Start walking in the light. Let us walk properly, not in lewdness, not in lust, not in strife or envy. Let those things go once and for all. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Notice there's an S in there. There's lusts inside of us. The book of James tells us that we're drawn away by our own desire. What lusts are in you? Probably the same ones that are in me, because we're not tempted except likewise. But you see their lusts of doing evil, of doing bad, of going against or contrary to the Word of God. It says, make no provisions for the flesh. Don't set up your life or a scenario to place yourself in a position where you'll be drawn away that by which is naturally in your human body to commit sin. Don't put yourself in that position. You're in the world. You're not of it. Don't become like the world. Try and stay away from it as possible. Whatever it is, if it means the remote, if it means the radio, if it means the movies, if it means who you're hanging out with, if it means your gossip at work, if it means your thoughts fill your mind with the things of the Lord, psalms or praises or word of God, whatever it means, don't allow yourself to go into that room and visit what you know you're attracted to. Stay far from it. Don't even look at it. I'm interested in horses. When we were growing up, we used to ride quarter horses, and they used to love to run. Chasing cows and chasing other horses and things like that. One of the things, though, we would race them sometimes, and some guys who really took it seriously, their horses had these blinders on, because horses, they sense another horse running alongside. And once they sense that horse, man, they start digging in even more. But with the blinders on, all they see is right there. And they're just running, and they feel their competition behind them, and they just open up. And it's amazing when they kick into that gear. You think they're running fast, and then they sense the horse behind you, and just, boom, it's like hitting a passing gear on a car. But they're blinders. They're focused on what they're there to do. These were horses that were trained or raised or bred just to run. You were born to run. You were born to run a race that God has called you to be in. You run and run like a quarter horse. You keep your blinders on. Don't look to the left or to the right. There may be some falling to your left and maybe even to your right. But you keep focused on the goal that God has called you and run your race. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for everyone here today, Lord, that you would bless them in the ways that you have called them. Each one in a different life, in a different situation or circumstance. And Father, that they would trust and rest in you. What else can we do but trust and rest in you?
We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. God bless you guys. I hope you have a wonderful week and seek opportunities to share the Lord with others.
Amen.